It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Yeah. Hello, America. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. Again, would you shorten that down? Call it 2A Radio. The website is 2aradio.com. Today is April 1st, 2011, which marks a couple of things. First of all, it was April 1st, 1980, 31 years ago today. I arrived in Las Vegas from the Pacific Northwest up in the Seattle area. And been down here ever since. I was went away for college a little bit, lived in northern Nevada for a couple of years, took a contract in Utah for a year, but this is basically home base here. Although I am potentially going to be relocating, possibly by the end of this year, for a couple of different reasons. But anyhow, it's been 31 years ago today that I moved to Las Vegas with my family, back when I was just a wee little lad. Today also marks April Fool's Day, and I'm about to make an announcement which has nothing to do with that. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I'm going to hit it again today. Today is the last weekday broadcast of 2A Radio, as we are moving to a two-hour weekend format. Many reasons behind that. All of the decision was mine. There was no pressure by the network or anything such as that. It's just, at this point in time, the amount of time that it takes up to do 2A Radio, and it's been many, many months that I've been doing the radio show when, quite honestly, I didn't really have the time to do it. I've been in here and I've been getting it done. And the thing is I have to cut back a little bit. I have to regain control of my schedule in my life. And that all begins today, April 1st. I have many different changes that are going on. There's many, I wouldn't call them dramatic, but many very notable changes that are happening in my schedule, the way things need to go because of some certain directions that I am going in and need to go, some professional things that have been lacking that I need to get on top of. So a number of different things, all good changes, might I add. The only bad change is now, instead of getting 5 hours a week of 2A Radio, you're going to get two. It's going to be on the weekend. When that actually is, we haven't even figured out. It's going to begin not the weekend starting tomorrow. It's going to be the weekend, the following weekend, starting in about 10 days or so. So that would be the weekend of April 9th and 10th, somewhere around there. I am hoping for a Saturday show. We might have a Sunday show. Instead, I don't know. We will find out. It'll be listed on the Liberty News Radio Network website. If Accent chooses to carry the show, it'll be on the Accent Radio Network's website. It'll certainly be at 2aradio.com with a new schedule. Again, all of the shows will be available at 2aradio.com. All of the shows we've ever done, every single show in its entirety, is on 2aradio.com, all of the archives. So, from the listener email bag, get an email from a guy who is in... a guy named Ron, who's in Nebraska, that sends us this little snippet of some information, which is rather interesting. A lot of different ways that people can lose their gun rights through different criminal convictions or mental health, situations. Well, listen to this. Nebraska lawmakers advanced just this last Tuesday, just a few days ago, a measure that would grant people with past mental health problems a chance to reclaim their gun ownership rights. The bill would allow state mental health boards to lift gun possession bans that were imposed for mental health reasons. The mental health boards would have to review an applicant's mental health records, as well as their criminal history, as well as their reputation, before lifting the ban. The measure was part of a broader proposal designed to improve communications between mental health boards and law enforcement and align Nebraska with federal laws. Congress strengthened the national criminal background check system used for firearm sales in 2007 after a mentally ill student killed 32 and wounded 15 more at Virginia Tech. The Nebraska bill would require court clerks to report all mental health commitments and discharges to the State Department of Health and Human Resources at the Nebraska State Patrol within 30 days. Both would receive similar notices when a mental health board reinstated gun ownership rights. Mental health commitment boards operate under Nebraska court system with at least one in every judicial district. The sponsors of the bill, Imperial Nebraska Senator Mark Christensen, said that the change, quote, affords an opportunity for persons to restore their Second Amendment rights if their mental health improves. So I would imagine that your mental health is going to need to be seasoned before they say, okay, you can go buy a gun. I agree with this. I really do. People can have different times of their life. I'm sure everybody can reflect back and think of a time where it's like, wow, I am just out of my mind right now. And then that fades. And it fades oftentimes pretty quickly. You get your feet back on the ground, get back into life, things go okay. The thing is, sometimes people end up going to some sort of mental health care during that time. They seek it out oftentimes, not realizing you're not going to be able to own a gun. So I agree with this. If you're able to go to the mental health board, they go through all the stuff, check you out, do everything they need to do, and say, okay, we're letting you know your rights are restored. They're, as we talk about, rights are really not something that can be taken away. But the government does do it for public safety concerns in a lot of areas. Sometimes just as a punishment. You get convicted of a felony, you can't vote anymore. And that has nothing to do with public safety concerns. That's just a punishment. Okay, and if you're convicted of a felony or you have domestic violence convictions, if you have mental health issues that are basically certifiable, you're not going to be owning a gun. I agree with that as well. However, once you're reformed from being a felon and you're seasoned being a good guy, and now in Nebraska, if you had some mental health issues and then you're seasoned and everything is all right, you can go through the process in both situations to apply to have those rights restored. They were taken away for a good reason. And if you so feel that you are good enough to go back into society, that you want those rights restored, there is a process you can go through. A little bit lengthy process, but it shows that you've got some conviction. I agree with this process. I think this is a good deal. I thank Ron for sending this off to me. It's good information. Guys, stay tuned. We've got plenty more information to come. We're going to go back to some of the stuff we talked about yesterday with guns on college campuses when we return. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, I'm going to read to you a little story that someone decided to put up. Based on the potential for the state of Texas to allow guns on campus. So here it is, and it's entitled, Texas Gun Law Sets Dangerous Precedent for Safety and Peace of Mind on College Campuses. So listen to this. Imagine yourself walking across Loyola's campus late at night. A relatively safe walk, even in the dark. But tonight there's something different. Something is making you nervous. A shadowy figure turns the corner, and your heart races. You look for the nearest blue light system and pull out your phone and dial 9 just in case. The figure gets closer, and you see him reach into his coat and begin to struggle pulling something out. Something dark. Something you fear will harm you. Just as you add a 1 to the beginning of your emergency call, you see that it's just a cell phone. You sigh deeply, feeling somewhat relieved. Yet you keep walking fast, cell phone out, eyes peeled, until you reach your dorm. Imagine sitting in a lecture when a shady guy you've never seen before walks in. He's sweating and looks around the room anxiously. Everyone in the room turns a look at him, and the tension in the air grows. He shifts his shoulder bag and opens it up. You're sitting in the front and brace yourself for the danger. Out of his bag, he pulls out a notebook and takes a seat in the back. Imagine living in this state of mind, constantly worrying that someone might pull out a gun and harm you or the people around you. While there's always a possibility that something like this may happen, if guns became legal on campus, the fear level would rise immediately. How would you know who has a gun? Furthermore, how would you know which of these gun holders was mentally unstable and may use their gun for some reason other than the purpose of self-defense it was initially distributed for? The answer is you simply wouldn't. While this way of life may be hard for us to imagine, the issue is becoming a reality for students on college campuses in Texas. Recently, a bill was passed allowing students over 21 years of age to carry licensed handguns on the campuses of college universities. This bill was initiated by Republican Senator Jeff Wentworth with the idea that if students had handguns on them, they would be able to defend themselves if a situation like the shooting at Virginia Tech were ever to happen again. This makes sense in that students would be able to defend themselves against a mass murderer. But hasn't this bill also just handed the potential murderer the access to the weapon he or she needs to complete the deed? There will be certain areas where the guns will not be allowed, such as athletic games, bars, churches, and hospitals. However, dorm rooms are left up to the discretion of the university. Although guns have a safety option on it, college students aren't always the brightest beings, and that just seems like a recipe for disaster. Allowing the guns in the dorms or even on campus in general just seems to be giving the angry, blackout, drunk college student a means to destroy many lives. Also, if someone really wants to shoot up a bar, a simple no guns allowed sign will not keep them away, especially if they're already carrying a weapon because it's allowed on other parts of the campus. We have a Second Amendment right which enables us to carry a concealed weapon, and to obtain that handgun, most of us have to be licensed and have gone through training. While this law may have been passed with the idea that it would be promoting the people's right to protect themselves, it could turn into a danger situation. If students started carrying guns around campus, there would be accidental firings or shootings out of rage if someone has anger or mental issues. The training may not be as comprehensive as necessary, and the young 21-year-olds would not have as much experience with a gun as a trained police officer. While I hope this would never be the case, we must consider the sober responsibility that these Texas political leaders have placed in the hands of these students while the passing of this bill, one that is now being considered in other states. Personal defense and safety are important to value and enforce on college campus, especially one that may be located close to a city or dangerous area. But guns on campus is not the solution. Increase the number of police on campus, offer more self-defense classes, or hand out pepper spray or rape whistles to students. Don't allow them to carry a weapon that will facilitate the very danger that is trying to be prevented. Obviously written by someone who's articulately ignorant. It's okay. You have to get licensed to buy a gun. What? No, come on. Don't be stupid. And here's the deal. You tell me. At the moment that an attack launches, somebody pulls out a gun and just starts randomly shooting people on college campuses, what is pepper spray going to do for you? What is a rape whistle going to do for you? What are additional police officers on college campus going to do for you? The answer is nothing. Because the cops are not going to be in the classrooms. The students are. So something happens in a classroom, where does it get stopped? By someone in the classroom. This whole thing about if they have a gun and somebody decides to get drunk or they go into rage or they just, for some reason or another, have the gun and it makes them unstable, they then all of a sudden have the tool to shoot. That doesn't happen. I have to tell you, guys, The only time that somebody has a gun, I shouldn't say the only time, virtually, percentage-wise, the only time somebody owns a gun is a law-abiding gun owner, and they grab it out of rage and start firing, is generally one of two reasons. Either domestic violence or extreme mental duress from job loss. Even oftentimes that job loss thing, it isn't, they don't already own a gun. They go out and they get a gun and they exact revenge. Gun owners are generally very responsible people. People that get concealed weapons permits. In this case, in Texas, it's not a constitutional carry state. You got to do the background check, blah, blah, blah. Go through all the paperwork to get it. Go through the training. Not likely that any of those guys are ever going to pull out a gun and just start a rampage. When people carry guns, by far, more often than not, and I'm going to tell you, it's literally 99.99% of the time. I don't have the figures in front of me. I'm just telling you from experience with myself and thousands upon thousands of gun owners that I have known and trained. Having a gun keeps you calm. Having a gun doesn't make you crazy. It keeps you from doing things like getting blackout drunk or getting involved in an argument and some sort of road rage. Calmer, more responsible people are the ones who are carrying guns. And unless you're part of the crowd, you don't know that. You just don't know. It's almost like a fraternity. So for someone to be so scared about, keep in mind, there's guns on college campuses. They have been for years in Utah, as well as in Colorado. How many mass shootings have happened there? The answer is none. How many individual shootings have happened there? The answer is none. Because the people that carry guns realize they're not alone. There's other people that also carry guns. And if you want to be a bad guy and just randomly shoot people, generally speaking, you don't want to get shot back. You want to be able to just shoot and have no problem with it. Have nobody stop you. One of the reasons why college campuses are such an attractive place. It makes a lot of noise, a lot of publicity, and the shooter ends the rampage on their own, generally by suicide. Once they're done, they're satisfied with the work they've done, they generally off themselves. But not until they decide that they are done. If someone else decides that they're done by pulling out their gun and shooting them to the ground, that's a deterrent. That's a big deterrent. So pull your heads out, college morons, and get educated. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come. We're going to talk about some self-defense, which has actually happened by armed people of what you might think would be the weaker-minded. Didn't work out for the bad guys. We'll be right back right after the break.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, it was years ago. It had to be, I don't know, 15 or more years ago. I was sitting around with a friend of mine who was 25, 26, 27 years my senior, and unfortunately passed away about 5 years ago. Very wise guy by the name of Dan Osborne. Dan was one of the top three people I've ever met in my entire life. Just an outstanding human being. And he gave me all kinds of worldly advice over the years, and I tell you one that I'm going to share with you. And I'll tell you why afterwards. He said to me, when it comes to women, and it also works if you're a woman when it comes to men, if you're in a relationship, he says, no matter who they are, where they come from, or what you think about them, somebody somewhere is sick of their garbage. just sick of their static, just tired of them. So I said, keep yourself grounded knowing that. You might think that somebody is absolutely worldly and you know, couldn't possibly live without them. And he says, somebody out there, generally more than one, is happy that this person is no longer in their life and their life is now better. He said, so remember that. And I'm telling you that for this reason. There's a lot of violent crime that happens. A lot of violence that happens over domestic issues. You know, guys are really ticked off about something dealing with their ex-girlfriend or their current girlfriend, wife, ex, whatever it is. Oftentimes a woman gets hurt, sometimes killed. Well, in that manner, first of all, advice to guys, take the advice that my buddy gave to me 15 plus years ago and apply it to yourselves. Okay, just realize there's a lot of fish in the sea. And you might have a lot of emotion wrapped up in this particular woman if for some reason you guys decide it's time to go separate ways, or one of you decides, generally if she decides if you need to go a separate way, just grin and bear it. Okay? Just grin and bear it. I've got to tell you, I am 41 years old. I've been married and divorced twice, had a lot of girlfriends from, you know, school all the way up till now. Of every single woman I've ever had a relationship with, I could have called wife or girlfriend, legitimately, there's only one that I could not or would not actually stop if I saw him out, you know, in the mall or shopping or hanging out, whatever, just come across anywhere out there in the world and sit and have a good, positive conversation with. Just a good catch up. Hey, how you been? Blah, blah, blah. There's only one in my life of the many that I would not do that with. Just one. And, you know, if I told you this story 5 years ago, the number would be zero. So just keep in mind, keep yourself grounded. I tell you that as I read this story to you. A woman in Semis, Alabama. Mobile. A Mobile man will be taken to jail once he gets out of the hospital. The Mobile County Sheriff's Office says Rex Thompson kicked down the front door of his girlfriend's home and on Moffitt Road in Semis, S-E-M-M-E-S, Alabama. She shot him in the left hand in self-defense. Not that she was trying to shoot him in the left hand. He just got shot. When Thompson is released from the hospital, he'll be charged with attempted burglary, criminal mischief, and domestic violence for the third time. His ex-girlfriend will not face charges. So, she used a gun to defend herself. Had she not had the gun, what would have happened to her? Probably a lot of bad stuff. And how about this one? An armed beauty queen fatally shoots an intruder in a Florida home invasion. When a burly ex-convict forced his way into a posh Florida home just last week, he had no idea what awaited him. A 25-year-old beauty queen with a pink 38 caliber handgun. Megan Brown, a former Florida pageant queen, shot and killed 42-year-old Albert Franklin Hill during a home invasion March 12th at the 2,700 square foot house she shares with her fiance, Tierra Verde. Hill barged into the home at around 3 a.m. after Brown responded to a knock at the front door, according to a police report. He allegedly grabbed the 110-pound Brown around her nose and mouth and dragged her to an upstairs bedroom. The woman's fiance, Robert Path, this doesn't make sense. Oh, I'm sorry, with her fiancé in Tierra Verde, not named Tierra Verde. Her fiancé, Robert Pathber, said in an interview that he was quickly awakened by the altercation and ran to Brown's side. I attacked him and took a severe beating to the head, is what he tells FoxNews.com. But I got him off of her long enough for her to scramble to the room where she keeps her pink 38 special. Brown, who reigned as the 2009 Miss Tierra Verde, snatched her gun from a nearby bedroom and shot the suspect several times, hitting him in the chest, groin, thigh, and back, her fiancé said. Hill was pronounced dead at the scene. Panthropper, a 42-year-old arborist, says he believes he and his fiancé were targeted because of their wealth. He claimed a pizza delivery man and possible accomplice staked out the home for 3 months before Hill attempted to burglarize it. Now, listen to this. This guy's 42 years old, and he's got a 25-year-old beauty queen fiancé. 17 years difference. Good on you. Let's see. He says, quote, "We live in a very prominent area, and my fiancé wears a $60,000 engagement ring." So now he's just gloating. "The pizza man knew we had money because every time we need change for a $100 bill when he came to deliver pizza." This guy sounds like a real posh jackass. Doesn't he? "I'm 42, she's 25, beauty queen. We have a lot of money, $60,000 engagement ring. We always pay with hundreds." Oh, and plus, he admitted that the bad guy who ended up dead was beating his ass when he got shot. Hill had a criminal record stretching back nearly 3 decades, including arrests for burglary, battery, drug possession, and grand theft. He reportedly served a 13-year prison term from 1987 and was released in September after serving a 4-month term behind bars. Detectives with the Pinellas County Sheriff Robbery Homicide Unit are still investigating the crime, but believe the motive was robbery, according to the local press reports. They say they haven't yet determined the relationship, if any, Hill had with the couple. A police report said the ex-convict demanded money before the altercation between Hill and Panthropper ensued. Panthropper, meanwhile, said he and his fiancée are lucky to be alive. He said he purchased the pink handgun for Brown last Christmas and that the two had gone to target practice together. And listen to this. Listen to this crappy statement he makes. "She was not a good shot at the range," he quipped. This guy seems like a real South Florida douche. He just does. I don't know who this guy is, but just reading this story, that's the way it comes across. This guy just seems like a goof. Anyhow, it's interesting as I read through all this and pick up on what a goofball this guy is. The dead guy, Hill, he's got a criminal record stretching back nearly 3 decades. Yet he's out of prison. What happened to this whole 3 strikes rule? Didn't most every state adopt this? If this guy is such a scumbag and cannot operate in society the way it's designed, then he needs to operate in a society that works around his mind. That would be prison. Okay? I am a firm believer, actually, on the federal level, that we should revamp Alcatraz Island and put a brand new maximum security prison on that facility. And that's where the bad guys should go. We'll be right back after this break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone.
And welcome back from the break. You know, it's funny. While we were at break, I went ahead and I looked up these people in Florida and the one about the story I just read. And, of course, the girl, she's 2009 Miss Tierra Verde or wherever it was. Beautiful young lady. Absolutely beautiful. The guy? One ugly dude, in my opinion. I mean, sunken in chin, bags under his eyes. The guy owns like a tree trimming company or something like that and makes good dough at it. But what a ugly, doofus-looking dude. My opinion, my two cents. And there was a story about some failed attempt at an engagement from years ago with some other hot young thing. Anyhow, just whatever. Good on her for having the gumption to go grab the gun and use it when her boyfriend was getting his weaselly little butt whipped by the guy that shouldn't have busted in. So here's a new story. Proposed gun law changes could cost South Carolina in lost fees. Now, this is how pathetic it gets. When we realize that armed citizens, and many of them, that reduces crime, because bad guys don't want to be around armed citizens. They want to be around disarmed citizens. So here's somebody who's anti-gun that's now going about it after money. Listen to this. A bill that is working its way through the state legislature could eliminate concealed weapons permit requirements and cost the state millions of dollars in lost permit fees. Millions? Seriously? Mary Anderson, area director, said she's still looking, still following the bill and wanted to learn more, but they are worried that no longer having mandatory classes for concealed weapons permits could hurt or destroy their business. Too bad! We don't pass laws to have your business. I gotta tell you, if we got away from the May 19th, 1986 restriction on new, fully automatic guns, NFA guns, many fortunes would be lost of the some 175,000 transferable full auto guns that are out there. Many, many fortunes would be lost, but it'd be good for America. Instructors also say that they think that removing the requirement would result in more legal gun owners being arrested for unknowingly violating state laws by carrying weapons in places where even permitted carriers are not allowed to have guns. So what? If you're going to carry a gun, you got to learn. Okay? You got to learn. There are currently 131,000 people with concealed weapons permits in South Carolina. Permits have to be renewed every 3 years for $50. Over the 3 year period, that amounts to more than $6.5 million in fees. It's a tax. It's called a jacket tax. There are currently 699 certified concealed weapons instructors who can review their licenses for $100 every 3 years, according to the South Carolina and Fort Law Enforcement Division, which handles the permitting process. Advocates of removing the permit requirement say most of the people who get it now would continue to buy the permit even if it were no longer required. What we're talking about is South Carolina looking to go into what we call constitutional carry, where you don't have to get a permit. Every state that has gone to the constitutional carry still offers a permit if you want to get it. The reason for that is, if you go to another state that recognizes the permit issued from you, like let's say in Arizona, you live in Arizona, you don't have to get a permit to carry concealed, but let's say you want to go to Utah on vacation, visit some family, something like that, go skiing, and you want to pack. Well, in Utah, they don't have constitutional carry at this point. So if you have your Arizona permit and Utah recognizes your Arizona permit, then you can pack. See? It's all about the recognition from one state to the next. It's the only reason that you could still get a permit if you wanted one, even though you didn't need one in your home state. It's called reciprocity. Here's a quote. I seriously doubt there will be any significant dent into the concealed weapons permit program because there are some very good reasons that people will still want to have their CWP permits. I says Robert Butler. I think it's funny. CWP stands for concealed weapons permit. So he said they have their concealed weapons permit permits. Would it just be their CWPs? Anyhow, Butler is vice president of Grassroots South Carolina, a group of thousands of firearms owners that strongly support the original bill but oppose amendments made to the bill late last week. The bill is scheduled to be heard at the House Judicial Committee after passing through a subcommittee last week. State Representative Dan Cooper, an Anderson Republican, and one of three co-sponsors did not respond to requests for comment. Butler said gun owners would continue to get the permit because having one allows them to carry their concealed weapons in 17 other states and also would allow owners to carry a gun in school zones. Quote, gun owners want to be able to legally carry their firearms when they travel outside of South Carolina, Butler said. We want to be able to pick up and drop off our children without committing a crime. Firearms instructors said the majority of their clients would not take concealed weapons courses if they were not required. Quote, from a Second Amendment point of view, I agree that people's rights to carry should not be infringed, said Dan Rankin, a certified instructor. He has taught concealed weapons permit classes in Anderson, South Carolina for 2,500 people in the last 10 years. Not bad. 2,500 people equals $250,000 over the last 10 years. That's pretty good. That's 25 grand a year. Not bad. But having taught the class so long, I've seen that people really do need instruction both in the laws and handgun safety before they carry, can be out in public. There are really two sides to this. Butler says the bill would keep concealed weapons permits as an option, but permits would no longer be required. Residents are currently allowed to have a gun, any gun, that they can legally buy in their homes or locked up in their car without the need for a permit. But to carry the gun outside the home or car, a permit is required. Now that sounds stupid to me because that's in violation of the Heller and McDonald decisions. I hope they, the lawmakers, take into consideration that good people can get themselves into trouble by not having the laws explained in detail to them, like we do in training, said Mike Lau, who runs the South Carolina Gun School in Piedmont. Lau said his company, with three instructors, including himself, would need to cut back if concealed permits are no longer required. That's right. We have other classes that we offer, but they're not as full as what the CWP ones would be, he says. It would hurt. Okay. Market something new. Ron Arcego, an instructor who works for Lou, said that his classes teach what armed residents can and cannot do. There's a lot of people out there that don't understand the concealed weapons laws, he says. We cover it thoroughly in class so they won't get themselves in a bad situation. Look, it's very simple. There's a very simple bit of information to follow. Okay? If you pack, stay away from state and county buildings, courthouses, and schools if you're packing to go along with the laws. Not that I agree with these. I'm just telling you pretty universally what you're going to find in most of the states. You use this as a guideline and then look up the laws from there. The other guideline is, don't go into a bar. Don't go drinking when you have a gun. Okay? Don't go doing any of that. Now, in Nevada, where I live, you can actually be packing in a bar while having a drink. As long as you're not drunk. I've had my gun, gone to have dinner with friends, had a beer at dinner. Everything is fine. I'm not drunk. It's the same 0.08 BAC that you would have packing a gun that you would for driving a car. Held to the same standard here in Nevada. And we've never had an issue with that. It's not an issue in this state. So don't tell me, oh, that would be a bad deal. People would get drunk and have their guns. We've been a shall issue state since 1997. We haven't had that issue. The other thing is this. Before you use your gun to shoot somebody, you got to qualify that. Do they have motive, intent, and opportunity? And are you in fear for loss of life or serious bodily injury, imminent fear, loss of life or serious bodily injury from somebody with motive, intent, and opportunity. If that's the case, that's kind of the universal picture required before you can pull out your gun and defend your life or that of someone else. If those requirements are met, good to go. Okay, you're good to go. Realize you got to be able to articulate all of these bits of this situation. So there you are. Guys, thanks very much for being such a wonderful listening audience, and we'll be back next weekend. on 2A Radio.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.